Blog Talk Radio.
Wow, Guado. Wow. Pause and then it went, yeah, you're going live.
Yeah. Glados over here, my end was all like, your show will go live. You just sat there, I was like, oh, crap.
Glados, we hate you.
Glados, we hate you.
Oh, my goodness. So, did you get to play anything good over the weekend?
Not really. I think I'm going to download The Last of Us on my PS3 later today.
You know, it's not on Xbox, is it?
No, I don't think so. I think it's an exclusive.
I was confused. I was all angry. I called the Redbox people and was like, look,
excuse me. I'm going to need Last of Us.
And they were like, yeah, but it's in the Redbox. Yeah, but it's the PlayStation. And I said, you suck.
No. And Bells is on me. When are you gonna get it? When are you gonna come play? So I may do that later. I don't know.
Not a multiplayer game, so.
You know what I did most of the weekend. You know where I've been playing.
Yes, he was messing it up. And I spent my weekend talking to angry customers. We got to find new vendors.
Yeah.
Oh, man. And not that I don't appreciate that the business is picking up, but this was getting ridiculous. That's where I was in there every couple of seconds, like, trying to drag stuff out and give.
Well, I had one girl sit there. You're missing your ales. Your ales are on the box. Yes, they are. I can see them. Other people have gotten them. Other people are already putting this out. I don't know where you put them, but they were in the box, lady. I ended up sending them to her again, but still, it was one of those.
Everybody was nice. They were just, I had no problems from Marketplace stuff. That was fine. I didn't get anybody complaining. I was happy to see they were buying. I guess I need to up my maternity stuff a little more. Yeah, that seems to be popular.
Well, there isn't any hardly on the Marketplace, or anywhere,
nope.
Period.
Nope.
And the one place who does do it, SLC, does it very, very ugly.
Well, we might have found another niche we need to jump into, Ginger. There you go.
Yeah.
You make the shapes. I text them. Just get them done. That's what I spent my time doing, in and out of there doing that. And then I saw you sent me something, and then I crashed. What did you send me anywhere? I've been meaning to ask you that.
Oh, I sent you my mesh.
Girl. Right? When you were sending it, I'm standing there in the store with this girl, and she wasn't being mean or anything. She wanted something, and it was sold out. That's the thing, that the vendors are not updating. Yes, so it was sold out. I was like, oh, I don't have any more. She's like, you're not gonna make any more. No, because I don't do like that. You know how I roll. I made 20 of these, and that's all y'all gonna get.
Yeah,
20.
No. That's been an issue with those vendors. I told you about that a while ago.
But mine, it was never doing it before. Like, never. This is the first time ever. And I've been, every time I go in, I spend a good 20 minutes to an hour just popping back and forth between both those stores.
Mm-hmm.
You know, pulling stuff out. What is it that you bought? And then I got to verify it. And it's like working in a real store. I don't like that. That's not funny. So, and I didn't get to play anything. Well, I got to play some City of Steam, but I think they wiped the server, so I lost my character. I had to start over.
Aww.
Which wasn't all that bad, because now I know what I'm doing, you know.
Yeah.
It's our fourth or fifth time through, so I got back up to level pretty quick, but after that I was sleepy. And then Corey was bad. Well, I was also sleepy because I was bad.
Oh, yeah?
Yes, Corey ate pizza with bacon on it. I know.
It's so good.
Yeah, it's so good, but remember, I'm not supposed to be eating any pork. Yeah, so it caught up to me. It's getting even faster, I swear. It used to be a couple of days, and then it got down to like half hour. It was almost instant. As soon as I got the pizza, I was like, okay, gotta take a nap.
Wow.
I'll see y'all later. Gotta take a nap. Gotta go sleep. Gotta sleep this off. Anyway, that's not what y'all came to hear, did you? Y'all are like, can y'all get to the news? Y'all are rambling about stuff. We have no idea what you're talking about. All right. I don't know what happened over the weekend with Twitch. If you are a fellow Twitcher, they're forcing you to reset your passwords today. They said they didn't get hacked, just they thought they might be. So that's good.
Yeah.
You're proactive. So reset your password. If they haven't forced you to already, some of you are probably sitting watching going, I can't log in. Yeah, that's why.
Yeah, it wasn't hard. It took 2 seconds to reset them.
Yep. Now, I have to get on to the juicy that I just found.
Did I give you
the link to that trailer there just now? I think I did.
Yeah.
Hey, go ahead, Rana. That's for Lollipop Chainsaw. The developer of Lollipop Chainsaw says he doesn't want to offend anybody, but he will not be changing his approach to women in his games. Apparently, he didn't notice the ESA study that came out week before last that says women are over half of all gamers. Now, we make up over half of all gamers, so you probably want to rethink that. His new game is called Killer is Dead. It features a gigolo mode where you're supposed to chat up women at a bar and attempt to discreetly sneak glimpses of her underwear with the help of X-ray specs. But he's not looking to offend anybody. It's distinctly in line with Suda's history as a creator, but also the sort of problematic treatment toward women that has become vocally decreed in the games industry of late.
And Lollipop Chainsaw is a game about a high school girl who fights zombies, right?
Yeah, but the whole cheerleader, and it's kind of hypersexual cheerleader. You know, she's got big boobs. She's showing the underwear whenever she's flipping or whatever. It didn't go over well with a lot of women. A lot of us took it as it was humorous. I didn't get to play it. Remember, we didn't get to play it because they didn't want to give it to us. Remember, they asked us, do we want it? And then they listened to the show, and then they were like, nah, it's okay.
Never mind.
Yeah, so they actually came to us and asked us if we wanted a copy, and then they just changed their minds. They refused to give it to us. So that tells me a lot right there. If you were thinking, let me get further down into what he's saying. He says he heard criticisms at E3 of how women are portrayed in games, and he says wait a minute, they have another game, No More Heroes, Taskmaster. Sylvia spends the game using sex as a reward for the player character doing whatever she wants you to do. He says, I think in a way when you get criticism, that means people are paying attention to your work. He says any kind of artistic value, anything you create, there's always some kind of criticism behind it, which means we're making an impression with an impact. He says, so I think we'll stay with what we're thinking and just keep going with that way of thinking. He says, and when I say that, sexuality is a touchy subject. We don't want to make people offended, but we're trying to create something that makes people laugh a bit because we're dealing with that topic. He also addressed his prolific history as a developer. Killer is Dead will be the eighth game that they've done since 2010. So if you guys are wondering why Lollipop Chainsaw wasn't all that great, it's because they're doing, you can't do that. He says they would love to slow down, especially the past 4 years. They said they've been in a very high-paced mode with Shadows of the Damned, Lollipop Chainsaw, and Killer is Dead, and they're all on HD machines. He says it would be nice to slow down a bit. And on top of those titles, there's downloadable and social games as well. But at the same time, I don't want to disappoint fans who are waiting for our titles, so we won't take too much time slowing down. Dude, you are asking for a faceplant. Via a woman from the back of your head. Why?
Sorry, coughing over here.
Why would you think that this is okay? You're not understanding that the state of the industry is changing, and right now,
I don't think he cares. I think he's going for a certain market, and that market is not women, apparently. So he can take his 50% of profits that he might have gotten, and not get them.
And that's you state my almost always obvious point is, why get half the money when you can get it all? All you have to do is make a change. What it says to me is you're not being creative or artistic. You're being short-sighted, myopic, and sexist. You're not seeing the whole picture. You don't know what women find humorous. Maybe you need to take a look at Rockstar. They do sexism, racism, all of it in such a humorous way that nobody's ever offended. The only thing people were offended about was hot coffee. But have you ever heard anybody, any groups, come out and say, oh, Rockstar is a bunch of racist, sexist? They don't, because they know how to do the humor properly. You don't. You need to probably take some notes. I don't find it funny that you have the player being rewarded with sex. It's not humorous at all. It's humorous to you because you're a guy, and maybe you find that type of thing humorous. Maybe you need to hire some women on board so you can learn what's the proper way to get a woman to laugh. That's not going to be it.
Exactly. I think they were going after the young males who probably don't have a girlfriend or don't see women as equals yet.
Equals or even human or living, breathing creatures that...
Yeah, I mean, because I was excited about this when we first saw it.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, this sounds cool, but no, this is not.
Yeah, when I saw Lollipop Chainsaw, I didn't look at it as sexist. I was like, she's a little hypersexualized, but I obviously saw it as a play on Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Yeah.
And that made that part humorous, but this other thing with the player being rewarded with sex, and when I saw her, I was like, she's flashing a little bit too. No, you know what? It wasn't the cheerleader outfit. Remember that later they came out with more outfits, and it was they just went overboard, with outfits. And I was like, okay, no. What you could have done, what would have been smart, is if you were going to add more skins to draw the women in and keep the humor, was maybe give her outfits of some of our favorite characters. Maybe she was dressed up like Samus Prime. Maybe she was Lara Croft, for a while. So those are things that work as humor, and it lets the women know we're not trying to offend you. But you are trying to offend. You just don't care. That's fine. You ain't got to get my money. You can shut down. We don't really care. Bye. We'll see you.
Exactly. We'll take our money and we'll go shop elsewhere.
How about Remember Me Gang?
Ooh, yes. Man, that's got to be a long download. Oh.
Remember Me?
Yeah. Well, because my CD drive on my PS3 is busted, and we tried to fix it, couldn't do it. And I'm not going to buy a new PS3 right now. I'm going to wait for the PS4.
That's right.
So I will just tough it out for a couple months. I put in a bigger hard drive so I could download more games.
That
was cheaper than buying a brand new one.
There's some scandal.
Really? What scandal you got? What scandal you got?
I'm going to try to find this picture. Well, I can't right now. You'll have to go and look this one up for yourself. Ellen Page is a little pissy about The Last of Us, speaking of The Last of Us. She used a Reddit AMA session to express her displeasure at similarities between herself and The Last of Us heroine Ellie. She says, I guess I should be flattered that they ripped off my likeness, but I am actually acting in a video game called Beyond Two Souls, so it's not appreciated. She said if anything, Naughty Dog toned down Ellie's likeness to Paige between reveal and launch, but the change down to wanting to better reflect the actress playing Ellie, Ashley Johnson. So they tried to make her look more like Ashley. After delving further into the game's narrative over the past few months, we decided to modify Ellie's model to better reflect Ashley's personality and also resemble, did you find it?
resemble
a slightly younger teen more fitting to the story. And they said, we're happy with the final results.
Why is our chat room not loading?
I got no idea. I noticed that. And we actually got people responding to us on Twitter. If you guys can hear us on Twitter, keep responding. We see you there. I don't know why our chat room is not loading up. And Jay says that the guy from Lollipop Chainsaw upped his creepiness factor with that little saying about the game and women. But anyway, Paige is currently the star of Quantic Dream's latest title, Beyond Two Souls, and they spoke with her about the game during her AMA. She says, we did do our own motion capture. The suits are not that bad. Sort of nice to not worry about wardrobe. Willem is an incredible actor, and I love working with him. She says, I played video games more when I was a kid. I had Sega Genesis. Oh, she is old school, and I was a huge Sonic fan. I also love the NHL games. I did, too, on Sega. Played them with my brother all the time. She says, I was super into PlayStation, loved the FIFA games. What is it with FIFA?
No, I'm not getting into FIFA.
She says she just played her most. she just recently played her video game from that she hadn't played in a while, and it was Tomb Raider, and she really enjoyed it. She finished it in about 12 hours. Oh, yeah, Ellen's a gamer. So, yeah, I'm not sure she should be upset. I mean, you can't really trademark your likeness.
You can, but people definitely try. People definitely try.
At least not yet. I'm sure in the future, they will be starting to trademark their likeness, because as they get older, people can come back and grab your younger likeness and throw it in a video game, and what would you do?
Exactly. I don't know. But this is darn close. I'm looking at this image, and it is definitely they were using her.
Yeah.
I mean, the nose is a little bit different. The lips are there. The chin's the same. The eyes are the same. Eyebrows.
Yeah, it's pretty much her.
Ears. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. They were definitely using her as a model. And they do that. They do that. And it's not just in video games. They do that in cartoons, videos, movies, all that mm-hmm. stuff too. So, yeah. I don't know.
I said,
sorry about that, Ellen. Mm-hmm. And that is awkward because she is in the other one.
Well, as you say, they do it all the time. I brought this up. I keep bringing it up because I don't think anybody has noticed but me. But one of the old, I don't know, one of those old cartoons where they have the country wolf and the city wolf, and he goes to the city and he sees this the girl dancing. The girl, and you can go look this up on YouTube. You just look up country wolf and city wolf. The girl dancing when he goes to the city is doing this whole dance with this little shorty bustier thing. It is dead ringer for Beyonce's Single Ladies video. When I look at it,
everybody uses that. Everybody.
Yeah, I mean, the whole outfit she has on, the dances and stuff that she's doing, a lot of the moves and stuff are from a cartoon. And I'm going to say she probably watched it because we're around the same age. They used to run those cartoons in the afternoon when you came home from school every day. So she probably saw it. She may not even realize she's emulating it, but that's where it came from. When I saw it, I immediately went, I know that. That's from that cartoon. Did she know?
That's funny. She probably doesn't know.
Yeah,
she's got a choreographer. She doesn't actually.
Well, the choreographer must have been watching. Well, like I said, of course, she didn't come up with everything.
Yeah.
But yeah, it is dead on. A lot of the choreography is from that cartoon.
Well, y'all aren't hearing me coughing back here. I'm dying.
Coughing
this morning. All right. So, if I can live. Skulls of the Shogun developer laments exclusivity deal with Microsoft and glad it's over. Oh, I'm going to kill these names. Brett Pfeiffer and developer 17-Bit Studios signed an exclusivity deal with Microsoft for its game Skulls of the Shogun. The game was released in January on Surface, a Windows Phone, and Xbox Live Arcade in January. You kind of doubled that. Now that the window of exclusivity is almost over, Brett Pfeiffer is relieved. Speaking to Pfeiffer says that he could go back in time and he would kick himself in the balls so that he wouldn't sign such a restrictive deal. I personally would like to go back in time and kick myself in the balls. I'd like to just have that year and a half of my life back. He says, we knew we were kind of making a deal with the devil. Well, of course. Probably one of our biggest mistakes was thinking in 2008 terms, where it's like, if you want to be on the console, you've got to be a console first. And that's not true anymore. Pfeiffer also shared some of the issues he had with Microsoft, including conflicting certification issues, poor communications, and, are you ready for this? Unpaid staff.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Even though they were partially funding the game to completion, we had to take a loan to cover the fact that they hadn't yet paid us when they were supposed to. We thought, well, it's Microsoft. They bankroll. They can afford this stuff. But because of their processes being so effed up, they couldn't actually do it. He said that the game didn't perform as well as he had anticipated. He said, we'd hoped to sell a few billion tablets. And from most reports, they did. But either those people are not buying games or they're not buying games for more than a dollar or two. He also says that Microsoft never tried to interfere creatively, and that Microsoft Studios worked hard to bring the game to release. At the same time, there are systemic problems with the way the division is set up and run. They came across as though they were institutionally incompetent. I think they're not really set up to be a decent publisher.
Oh.
Yeah. He does say, though, at the end of the day, that Microsoft being called evil is an undeserved descriptor. No, it's not fully deserved. You're just trying to kiss a little bit of butt so they don't totally kick your game off their system.
I don't think they're necessarily evil. I think they got a group of people in there that, you know how, I think we made this comparison before. You know how you have a team that wins a Super Bowl or playoffs or whatever, and almost the next year, immediately they fire all those people and they get new people in thinking they're going to win again. When you had your team that was able to do this together, so you probably should keep them as long as you can. And I think that's what happened with Microsoft. You have a new cycle of people in there that weren't, I mean, they may have been around when the original Xbox was created and maybe even the second one that came along, but they weren't, you know, in the position to really do anything. And now that they are, they don't understand the original vision of what Xbox was supposed to be. So they're doing stuff that they think is cool and new, but, you know, some of the stuff is just kind of off the rails crazy. It's way too far.
Off the rails.
It is. It's off the rails, just out there. I'm like, where did you come up with this? It's not like, you know, you saw the trends moving in that direction. We want always on internet on my Xbox. Who said that?
Somebody who thought that they could demand always online so it would decrease hackers and blah, 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 blah.
It doesn't. The only thing that happens is, we always say, you create something to stop hackers and they find a way around it. And
exactly.
You're right back where you started.
And I agree.
Or you could just do like the other, what was that company that released their game to the hackers? They put it up on Pirate Bay and let people download it. And then when you tried to log in with it, they were like, ha, you are a hacker.
Yeah.
Your game does not work anymore.
Well, it worked, but there were
glitches.
Critical issues. Problems.
All right, Sony is saying, Ginger, they don't know, why are you downloading? Because gamers don't want to download. You don't want to buy stuff online right now. That's right. Guy Longsworth, Sony's Senior Vice President in charge of PlayStation brand marketing for Sony Computer Entertainment of America, the day after Sony's E3 press conference event, to find out more about Sony's marketing plans for the fall, Games International spoke with him. Longsworth's task is to successfully launch the PlayStation 4 in the United States while boosting PlayStation 3 and PS Vita sales. It's a gigantic assignment, and Longsworth is excited by the challenge. He says, I joined the company just under 2 years ago, and I'm relatively new to the gaming industry. He says, it's just a physical, phenomenal industry to be in. I literally go to bed every day and can't believe how lucky I am to do what I do. Now, and here's where you find amazing somebody who kind of stepped in and understands the vision of what should be happening, which is good. They didn't come in and try to change everything. I think it should be done this way. These gamers don't know anything. Parts of their presentation, of course, were put together after Microsoft posted its Xbox One policies prior to E3, and you all can say that's cheating if you like, but I think that's smart. You messed up, so we're just going to step in and point that out to everybody. Ha ha. Longsworth explained, he says, it's not our job to talk about the competition. We're here to tell you what we stand for, and Jack Tretton very clearly told you what we stand for. We think that's the right thing for gamers. We think that's the right thing for our platform, and we're very happy to tell people about the differences between the two consoles. Sony's struggle for market share against Microsoft's Xbox One is made more difficult in some ways by the similarity of the two consoles, because they look exactly alike.
They do.
On the outside, even the controllers. Says, if you look at the fundamental architecture, the Xbox One and the PlayStation 4 are more similar than any two competitive consoles have ever been in the past. This implies that the services and the games and how the consoles are marketed becomes even more important. But he says he doesn't believe that gamers are really – that they really want to buy a lot of stuff online right now. He says, so the retail remains important. And he may be kind of right about
that. He's right. I mean, I'm talking about how to download a game, and if my drive weren't busted, I would totally be going to the store to buy the physical copy.
And I think that's the thing the other thing that we all kind of even glazed over with Microsoft, if I'm constantly downloading games, it's the time factor. A lot of us, unfortunately, in the age of the internet, don't have a lot of patience. I don't want to wait 2-3 hours for my game to download, because by that time I could have gone to the store, I got my snack, and I've cleaned up. Because that's how I roll. Clean up, got everything settled, and I want to sit down and play then, not wait.
Exactly.
Because it may not be done? What if, you know, the connection gets interrupted, especially here in Texas where we have these sudden storms? You know, the internet goes down, bam, your download is interrupted. Whereas, again, if I have
to
the store,
sucks.
Oh man, and especially if it causes an error where you can't finish.
No, and you got to start all over from scratch, and you're at like 98%. And then, like, after that, because you've got 98% installed, it goes all wonky with your download afterwards. So, like, these files are corrupt. What do you mean?
And with a PlayStation, it's hard to get them off of there when they're corrupt.
Yes.
Oh. It is difficult to get them off. It's bad on a PC, but the PlayStation is way worse trying to get the corrupted files off. Oh, God. Xbox, same thing. Hard to get them off.
Kick puppies.
Ginger, don't kick the puppies.
I don't want to kick the puppies, but they make me want to kick puppies.
Oh, Ginger wants to kick puppies. Did y'all hear that?
I don't want to kick the puppies, but they make me want to kick puppies.
Like Joe says, like Sony has to sell me any more than they already have on buying a PS4. So we're all in agreement. We'll be playing on PS4. Thank you. This meeting is adjourned.
True effing story. Like I said earlier, you know, that there's I'm going to download this game, but mainly because my drive doesn't work, and I'm not playing it. Well, I don't think it's released for the Xbox, but even if it were,
I don't have my PlayStation anymore, so I would have to play it on Xbox. I wish it were. If it's on PC, I may look at grabbing it on PC. You know, I had to tell you, I figured out what was wrong, other thing that was wrong with Frankie.
Too much porn?
No! Crazy Corey did not plug her monitor, the cable, all the way back in. So remember I told you my screen was flashing and crazy stuff was happening?
Yeah.
That was why. I found it out when my lovely roof was caving in. I said, hey, this cable's loose. And when I plugged it in, no more problems. Frankie's moving like a dream again. It's beautiful.
Moving right along.
Loves you, Frankie. He's a good girl.
Are you kissing your computer?
I was kissing the mouse.
You're kissing the mouse? Do you know where the mouse has been?
Yes, in my hands.
You know where your hands have been.
I know exactly where my hands have been.
Ew!
We're being bad. Okay.
We are being bad. All right, it is my go.
Go.
If I can not lose my voice, it is my go. Yay! All right, the Silent Age. The Danish indie publisher and developer House on Fire has released today a point-and-click adventure, The Silent Age, Episode 1 for the Droid. The title has already been a success on iOS devices and has been nominated for several awards, including the Nordic Game Award in the category Best Artistic Achievement. The Silent Age episode is now available for free. That's right, folks, I said free. So, hey, free games on Monday.
Free game.
Downloaded on Google Play. The Silent Age Episode 1 is a minimalistic 2D point-and-click adventure. Players take on the role of an average guy named Joe, imagine that, who one day has a time machine thrust into his hands by a mysterious dying man. From that point on, Joe must travel back and forth through time to prevent a great disaster. The Silent Age takes place in 1972 during the Cold War and in the nightmarish future of the year 2012. Yeah, that sounds like future people. In which humanity has vanished from the face of the earth. Using classic points and click controls, players must explore the world and find out what has happened to humanity. In this lovingly designed adventure, packed with puzzles, Joe becomes the reluctant savior of humanity and the whole world. Yay!
They say
The Silent Age is equally exciting for both newcomers and fans of the genre because tricky puzzles and a constantly changing future represent an extraordinary challenge. Yay! Again, so it's already out on Google Play. It's free for download, so go check it out. Silent Age Episode 2. It's already in the works, so hopefully we shall see that in the future.
I don't know if we'll see it in the future, because stuff happens and stuff.
Yeah?
Look, no. Ginger's like, yeah? Where are you going with this, Corey? Nowhere.
Okay.
Just crazy. All right. Before I jump into this next one, I meant to mention this last week. Remember when Last of Us opened, last week or week before last, did you know that it outsold Man of Steel, the movie?
I did not know that.
Yes, people, this is why the government is after us. They know we make paper in the industry. When we outsell a movie, a movie that can be paid for numerous times, by the way.
Yeah, but that's our paper.
Yeah, that's our paper. They want some of our paper.
They have our paper.
Damn. I just want to stick us for our paper. Okay, so this whole thing going on with Warzy and Daisy and all this business, I don't know why. Tinder, run that their business, that trailer business. According to our lovely friends over at Eurogamer, the Daisy standalone mod app, whatever it is they're doing, is not ready for release.
Imagine that!
Wow, after they put up that whole big fuss. The big question, Dean Hall said during a demo of our build at Daisy at Res 2013, which we told you about. Sorry if you missed it. He says, when? When are you going to finish it? He says, well, we've set a date now, a window of about a week.
about a week.
Okay. He says, we're not going to say when that is. Because we were originally going to release them in 50,000 key increments, but we decided to do everything all together. And the architecture has to be there to support that, he pointed out. His secrecy may also stem from having built up expectation. We announced a hopeful Christmas 2012 launch window for the Daisy standalone alpha at the Eurogamer Expo last year, a move that resulted in apologies and Everest-sized mountains of stress. Hall and team are acutely feeling the pressure to release Daisy Alpha. He says, we really feel like we have to get the Alpha out and start getting player feedback on where we're at here. He says, that means very soon. Maybe this summer.
How long has that damn game been in Alpha now? It's been a while, folks.
I don't know. He says, do not expect it to look like Arma 3, he warned, because that's a multi-year project worked on by a large team. He doesn't want Daisy to take as long and is adamant that system requirements should be low so that the performance can be high. He says it has a great frame rate, 60 frames per second on higher-end PCs, and it means it can then run and support things like Oculus Rift and all those sorts of awesome things. He also talked about all sorts of bewilderingly intricate systems during the demo there that Ginger's running, such as being able to take blood from people, inject saline, and find antibiotics, real-world types. Crucial medical mechanics that mean you will have to trade with people. Even if you're playing as a lone wolf, this should lead to some tense negotiations, he says. He also demonstrated the new radio system whereby players can receive internet radio stations on radio devices within the game. Come on. And then they can blare them out either as they run around or by leaving radios at locations for some hot trolling potential. I'm going to tell you now, you need to get this done. Get it out there.
Yeah.
Get it out there. We're waiting, and we're tired of hearing about it. You made this big old fuss about the other people borrowing your name, and you had your own standalone.
And you can't even get your darn stuff out there.
No.
And your trailer's not wanting to work. Crap.
It didn't work.
No. Even the trailer's kind of like locked up.
Ah, y'all suck.
Yeah. Seriously, it's just ridiculous. It's one of those. And a friend of mine plays this, and she was so excited about it. And then, not even 2 weeks later, she's like, "This game is complete and utter crap."
Really?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't remember what all exactly it was that she hated about it, but there was a lot of stuff that she was just not. It won't even let me skip ahead on this video. All right, sorry, folks, we were going to show you the video, but...
Guess no Arma for you.
No.
Okay,
no.
Twitch, you be having some issues. Y'all are starting to make me worried.
I know, I like it, Twitch. Don't make me rethink this. Don't make me rethink this.
Run away, scream at me!
All right, well, I think we need some zombie alert. Do you have some zombie alert?
Zombies? Didst thou say...
Zombies!
Zombies? Is that what you said?
Zombies.
Zombies.
What? The living dead. Yeah. All right, so Ballardia Games, who I've never heard about before... is sad to announce that after a year of open beta, the decision has been made. Oh, this is a sad one, folks. This is sad, everybody. Take your hats off. Be respectful. Alright, so after a year of open beta, the decision has been made to close their browser-based zombie survival strategy game, World of the Living Dead, this afternoon. They are also proud to announce that a completely rebuilt version of the game, World of the Living Dead Resurrection, will launch later this summer. Yay! After over 2 years of development, the developers came to the conclusion that the game in its current shape, form, and infrastructure needed a drastic redesign. Positive early press from the game's media revealed that World of the Living Dead and its Google Maps-based gameplay. That's hot. Google Maps-based gameplay, Corey. That is cool. It was unable to cope with large influxes of players generated by the coverage. This led to a realization by the developers that they would have to go back to the drawing board if they were ever to bring their vision of a zombie survival strategy game to life. With the new game ready to launch later this summer, the developers want to say a big thank you to the core community who has been playing the game for the past year and inform them that they will be receiving special in-game gifts when the new game launches. Any unspent Necra credits will also be transferred across to their new accounts, and a closed beta test for a limited number of existing users will begin in July. Oh, so they are not even kidding. This thing is on the move already. During the downtime, the developers will be releasing information about their reasoning behind closing the server on the official blog, as well as details about all new and improved, yay, features for the new game.
Wow.
This is going to include information about the migration from Google Maps to OpenStreetMaps, the new grid-based movement system, and big changes to the density movement. The series of blog posts will also look in detail at topics such as scavenging, survivors, hunger and thirst, safe houses, repairs and modifications, and research. Yay! They say in the meantime, if you want to follow them, you can check them out on Facebook and Twitter and at their blog and all that other fun stuff.
Okay.
This is kind of cool. I'm going to bookmark this because I'm going to want to come back and check this out when they get the new one.
Well, here's the thing. This is one of those augmented reality kind of deals.
Uh-huh.
So there's actually not any, you know, you won't see the zombies on the screen or have to to fight them. I just want to make sure our peoples are aware. Sometimes those games can be fun. I don't know how fun this one is going to be. I enjoyed one of them that I played. I used to play. Y'all heard me talk about. Where it was Google Maps based, where you know you could be infected or a survivor, and if you happened to show up where somebody was, then you know they could find you and infect you. Like we were survivors, and somebody was in the Walmart chasing us. I still have no idea who that was, but so that becomes kind of fun. But if you live way out in the middle of nowhere, it probably won't be that much fun because there's nobody around you to really play with.
Yeah.
So I don't know how they're doing this.
Because when I was playing Age of Gathering originally on my phone when it first came out, me and the other half, we were the only ones in our town who had it, and the next closest people were like several hours away, and that was Google Maps away.
Yes,
it was nuts.
Even in Houston being as big as it is, you know, I think the nearest person to us. That I could see every time I logged in was like way on the other side of Houston. It just happens to be that night, you know, the alert popped up and says, you know, there's an infected within a few yards. And I was like, what? Oh, we're playing a game. Okay, run.
run.
So I think they have something when they do the augmented reality games. They just don't quite know what they have yet. And I don't know either. I got no ideas for you. I don't know what to tell you to do with this one. It's something there that needs to be looked at, but I don't know what. All right, it'd be time for charts because they started sending them to us again. As soon as I find out where it is, as soon as I figure out where my charts are, then I'll be happy to tell y'all what
charts,
we've all been playing.
Charts! Well, I can already tell you this. FIFA is on there.
You may be, in fact, wrong.
I may be, in fact, wrong. No, FIFA's always on there.
I don't think FIFA's on there this time. I think you may be mistaken, madam.
No, FIFA has always been on there.
FIFA is...
It's the rule of the charts. FIFA's not allowed off.
Is that what it is? Because I think FIFA has...
I think they're sleeping. spoken with the chart person.
All right, well, let me tell you who is on there. People, maybe, maybe not, not sure. Okay, so I don't know what's going on with you people with the grid, too, but apparently you like it.
Yay!
So it's number 10. Woo-woo! Number 10 for the grid, too.
Oh, number 10. My bad.
Yeah, you haven't had to do it in a while, yeah.
My bad.
Number 9. Assassin's Creed 3.
Yay!
Which I tried to play. I got to start over. Dang it. Number 8.
Numero 8.
Injustice. Gods Among Us.
Yay!
You sound so excited, right? Coming in at number 7.
Number 7.
Another entry from Ubisoft who is going to be dominating game charts this summer. That would be Far Cry 3.
Yay! Because it's a Far Cry.
It's a far, far cry. 3 times. All right. Coming in at number 6.
Numero 6.
Call of Duty Black Ops 2. Jay says if FIFA isn't on the charts, he calls shenanigans.
I know, right?
Number 5. Stay alive with number 5. Max Payne 3.
Yay for Max Payne and running people's heads over.
You know what? I think some of you are bored. Some of these games are like recycled from before. That's weird. Number 4.
Numero 4. Seriously, it's that time of year again. I've got a lot of people. I mean, even with the new releases, they're like, I'm bored.
Might as well play this while I wait for this. Number 4 is our favorite gal, Miss Lara Croft herself, Tomb Raider.
Rawr!
Coming in at number 3.
Numero 3.
I lied. It's FIFA.
I told you that they're like forking whoever the chart person is.
FIFA 1-3, baby. FIFA the 1-3. Hey, man, I'm doing my fingers backwards. I have to come up with game time.
152.
Coming in at number 2, and Baby Natrix and I would have been enjoying some of this had it not been for the caving roof. Animal Crossing New Leaf.
Animal Crossing.
I feel so left out. Everybody's playing Animal Crossing on my Facebook. I want to play too.
Aw, poor Corey.
I want to stomp somebody's flowers.
Poor Cowie.
And steal their somethings, their stuff. Oh, you just Cowie. Yeah, y'all better be aware. When I get mine, I'm coming through your town. I'm stealing all of it. Don't try to hide it. I'm coming in your house.
Well,
okay.
I'm not telling Corey where my town is.
You give me your friend code, I'm coming in.
Uh-huh.
Just gonna be like, you can't have my friend code. That's all right. Mm-hmm. I know how to get to you. Just let me come in one time. I just want to steal a few of your animals. Anyway. And coming in at numero uno.
Numero uno.
The Last of Us.
The Last of Us.
Whoa.
Seriously, I know. I've got several friends that are playing, and I can't res them in any other game because they're all like, no, we're playing it.
Did you say you can't res them? Is that what you said?
Yeah. Can't res them in any other game.
Ginger, why you be resing folk?
Because I want to play with them, and they're all like, no.
You're not supposed to res in cases of extreme emergency.
My gaming need is extreme emergency, thank you.
Just to let you know, your Lego Batman 2 is number 12 further down the list.
Oh, so it's not that bad.
And for some reason, those of you who are like, haven't played GTA, you better get it in because it's actually in the charts again. This has got to be the weirdest thing I've ever seen. I don't think GTA 4 has been in any charts for like years. All of a sudden, it's creeping back in. And it's in 2 spaces. It's at number 16. I'm just throwing some other ones out there for you so y'all know. And the Liberty City episode is at number 25. So if you haven't played them, get up to date.
Awesome, 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 awesome. All right, so it is my go again for more news. Yay. All right, so PlayStation 4. Apparently, it's going to be running on a modified version of FreeBSD 9.
Ooh, that'd be sassy.
VG Leaks is reporting that Sony's upcoming PlayStation 4 console is going to be using a heavily modified version of the Linux operating system FreeBSD 9. They're saying that the PS4 will use a custom version of FreeBSD 9 created by Sony called Orbis OS. The PS4 uses an AMD 8-core APU with Radeon graphics. They say there aren't any publicly available Catalyst drivers for any BSD operating system right now, though. The open-source driver ported from Linux with Radeon KMS and Galleon 3D is still in a primitive state, according to the site. Speculation is that Sony has worked very closely with AMD to develop their own graphics drivers for the PlayStation 4 with FreeBSD or ported with the Catalyst code based to BSD.
Yeah.
I don't think about that. That's kind of cool. I guess we'll see. So, hey, hopefully that works great for them. Hopefully there aren't any issues.
I'm trying to find something interesting here that just popped into my box. No, ma'am, there will be none.
I'm sorry, I'm trying not to. What's going on?
You Mac people got a new game out that looks interesting, and I might be kind of jealous.
What game did they get?
It's called Golden Trails 2, The Lost Legacy. Yes, and it is only for you Mac people. That is amazing.
They get an exclusive. They don't get exclusive games.
They got themselves an exclusive. And I do believe something is bite me on my leg. Apparently, I'd be very tasty. Anyway, the developer of such title as Cradle of Rome 1 and 2, Golden Trails, The New Western Rush, and Golden Trails 2, The Lost Legacy, Letters from Nowhere 1 and 2, The Island Castaway 1 and 2, and other casual games and apps announces the release of Golden Trails 2, The Lost Legacy for Mac. Mm-hmm. You can check them out at awem.com. That's AWEM. Golden Trails 2, The Lost Legacy is very dear to us, they say, as it was our first collector's edition. We plan to introduce more Mac versions of AWEM games in the future. That's from the CEO there. In Golden Trails 2, The Lost Legacy, you travel back to the 18th century and join Henry's adventurers, whose granddad is accused of being a pirate and condemned to death. You can scour numerous locations to find over 2,000 hidden objects. Yeah, this is one of those hidden objects games.
Pirate me.
I'm going to give it to Ginger. This is a hidden object game, just to give you guys a heads up. I hate when they have a great story and then they make it a hidden object. Can y'all stop doing that? So you have to solve some mind-bending puzzles. You get to practice your shooting accuracy, and you look for clues in passionate Spain, exotic Maghreb, and the legendary islands of the Caribbean. So you have apparently 40 fantastic hidden object locations, 3 game modes, including secret mission and unlimited mode, travel 4 continents in search of the truth, if you can handle it, solve puzzles in between the episodes, enjoy the unique shooting gallery, get 45 marvelous in-game trophies, and it's translated into all the main European languages if you speak any of them, and hopefully English. It will work on pretty much any operating system. They have another version. It's only $6.99 if you want to check it out. So it's not just on Mac. It's XP, Vista. Oh, almost gagged when I said that. 7 and 8. Yeah. So yeah, make sure.
Poor Corey.
I'm sorry. Vista and 8 just make me gag. Why?
Yeah. I was quite happy to get rid of Vista. Vista was a piece of.
See, I still got a Vista on one of mine. Sadly.
I'm so sorry.
I know. I'm sorry, too.
Do you apologize to your system all the time for it?
No, I tell my system it should apologize to me because it came that way. You are bad computer. Bad.
Poor computer. Poor computer to be born into the digital world with an atrocity like that.
Bad.
All right. So it's my turn again. Yay! Dark Nebula.
Wait, the Nebula has to be dark.
Yes, it has to be dark. Free Lunch Design, a Swedish developer of mobile games, is so pleased to announce today the release of Dark Nebula HD Episode 1. What's up with the Episode 1 games? Anyways, originally created by 1337 or Elite Game Design in 2009, the acquired by Free Lunch Design in 2012, Dark Nebula Episode 1 has been highly praised by both critics and fans. The new release includes, in addition to HD graphics and tablet support, 12 new complimentary challenging levels. Yay! Jimmy Omen, lead designer, says, "I'm very excited to finally give the fans what they've been asking for, a game that looks and plays stunningly on tablets. Furthermore, I hope they will enjoy the 12 new levels while waiting for the announcements of Episode 3.
No? No, we will not enjoy it while we wait for Episode 3. We didn't see Episode 1.
Yeah, I know. There wasn't really much there, was there? The game's going to be available worldwide for iOS, App Store, and Google Play on the 25th of June, which is tomorrow. The iOS version will have a price tag of $1.99 and an introductory price of 99 cents. The Android version will be free with ads, with an optional in-app purchase to remove ads. Yay! All right, so this is Dark Nebula.
All right, I mentioned this on Twitter before. Some of you came here like, where is the Xbox story you mentioned? I'm going to tell you now. Ha ha. All right, Xbox is still trying to come make a comeback. Xbox Live Director of Programming, Larry Herb, a.k.a. Major Nelson.
That's good for them if they want to just keep on trying.
They keep trying. Come on, y'all, get up. Get up.
Everybody's going to have a dream, right?
Everybody's going to have a dream. He has revealed that you can plug your 360 into the Xbox One using the new HDMI port on the console. He says, absolutely, you can certainly plug a 360 in the back. That was one of my first questions when I heard about the HDMI in feature. This is what he told the Reddit Games Reviewer at E3. He stopped short of explaining why you would want to do that. But I have heard
so that you can port in your games.
Yeah, because they realize they don't have backwards compatibility. That's what it better be for. Because I was about to, I'm still hot either way it goes. But
that's what I've heard. I'm still not buying the piece.
I'm not doing it. But I'm gonna give him kudos for trying. But the inference from the question is that you might want to use Xbox One UI or perhaps make use of its of multitasking while playing. The same question covered plugging a Windows 8 PC in the HDMI port as well. The answer is yes. He says it seemed to cover both PC and set-top box input. It's not a specific confirmation, but judging by the Xbox 360 compatibility, there's a good chance that the PCs will be compatible too. It says it's the only console right now that has HDMI in, and it's going to absolutely allow you to plug in your, for instance, cable or set-top box, which we don't care about. When I am gaming, I'm not interested in the cable box. I need to play my games. Herb also tackled some other thorny subjects.
I think we need to go back to the days where we had to set it to channel 3.
Right? he says he also touched on other thorny subjects such as how long Xbox One game licenses your new games library will last for. Will they outlive the Xbox One? He says we haven't even started this generation, so it's kind of early to talk about the end of the generation. No, it's not. I need to know what's going to happen to my games. I'm giving you something I'm not going to have a physical copy of. What happens? He says that's certainly something that we would not do, reference ending support at the end of the generation. He says that's not the way the system is designed. It's designed for flexibility. Let's get the system out there first. He also talked about bans. Now, games are tied to licenses, which in turn are tied to Xbox Live accounts. Does being banned mean withheld your game collection? He says absolutely not. You will always have access to the games you've purchased, in which the interviewer commented, yay. He told her, yay, come on, you had to expect that. No, we didn't, Larry. Sorry. After what's been going on, yeah. He was pressed again about the 24-hour online DRM check that Xbox One carries out and wheeled out a familiar line about flexibility and sharing games with your family. He says, we think the upside of being connected is really about the library and having access to your games where you are, things you can't really do today. Why can't I? It's called a disc. I take it with me to my family's house. Me to my family's house. I put it in. We play. I don't see where you guys are confused about how this works. Okay. So they've Herb was also confronted about Sony too, and whether Microsoft would change anything following its rivals combative showing at E3. He says, I don't think we're not going to change anything. Of course, we know that they did. I want to say this story. It might be a little bit outdated. But the 360 thing. Titanfall. Of course, it's only on Xbox. It's probably going to become a PlayStation game. And, of course, he's saying we're confident about where we're going and vision and all, blah, blah, blah. You know, Major Nelson, I love you, but no.
Sit down, shut up, and look pretty, little boy.
Wow. Got some interesting things going on over at Microsoft. I don't know
what they were thinking with this. I mean, did they just like hire a monkey and be all like, all right, make our business plan? Because that's all I can think of, because no one with a brain that knows gamers would have agreed to this.
I think they thought they were being revolutionary, pretty much what Matrix said.
Mattress.
That's why I just want to call him Mattress. He's like, well, you know, people complain. Remember the whole dial-up argument? And here, I think that was a stupid argument that he made because nobody wanted dial-up in the first place. Whereas we already have internet. What we don't need is you always up in my Kool-Aid all the time.
Exactly.
Nobody wants that. Nobody.
We wanted faster internet. We didn't.
and we wanted a console that could handle faster internet because, like I said, anybody who ever played or tried to play EverQuest on dial-up connection or even when Dark Age of Camelot came along, I think I still had dial-up. Oh, my God, that was the most horrible thing ever.
Yeah, because originally I tried to play Dark Age Camelot, but I tried to play it on a dial-up, and that was not happening.
No.
I could play it as long as I didn't want to play PvP, and that's a game you definitely want to play PvP for.
I had to buy a separate phone line that had no features because, you know, somebody would call you when you were on the dial-up. Oh, my God, you were dead.
Man, I do. I still remember threatening people. How dare you call me?
You pick up the phone. Hello. What? And they'd be like, I just called to see what you were doing. I'm trying to play.
It was 5 minutes because I was on AOL.
Yes.
Log back in.
Yes. Yes, you had to go through AOL, because remember, AOL wasn't like it is now. AOL is pretty much, you know, kind of like a Google, you know, little website and everything. But then you had to go through your AOL. You had to wait for the AOL to dial in, and then you had to go over to Dark Age of Camelot and sign into there and wait for it to dial in. Oh, my God, horrible. Oh.
It was a nightmare and a half. It was.
So trust me, when they came along with the Xbox, I was like, I can't play this on a dial-up. Oh, it won't use dial-up. Really? It's going to use that new thing called DSL.
I don't know what idea this was for it, but they should be fired from a cannon into the sun. Seriously. From a cannon into the sun.
So this new thing where he keeps saying, this is just the future. No.
No, it's not. No, it's not. This is just you trying to get in our houses and steal our information and be Big Brother. And
Jay says, link up your cable box, Microsoft Love Fest with cable television integration, and then hashtag, ain't nobody got time for that. I completely agree.
I just don't see what the point of that is.
I know what the point is. They're trying to go head-to-head with Sony and jump into the whole TV and movie thing, and really, they don't need to. You had your niche carved out for you, which was community. You should have just found a new way for community to interact. Hell, why don't you figure out what to do with this, the augmented reality games? You could have done something with Xbox with that. Or when are we going to get a handheld Xbox console? Why didn't you bust out with that? That would have been like, oh my God. A handheld Xbox console?
Oh my God, that'd be hot.
Dude, I would have been all over that. I'm buying both. What, they link up? And I got augmented reality. Oh, I'm in. You wouldn't even have to show me anything. You just told me about it. I'm in. My hands are below the desk as soon as you said it. But no, you're trying to jump into TV industry, which you are too far behind. Sony's been around forever. They've had time to cultivate movies and TV programs. And when they did a console, they still did it before you were around. That's why they took their time to do it, because there was nobody else to really compete with other than Nintendo. And they had a different niche than Nintendo. They were also smart. They didn't try to go, you know, head-to-head with Nintendo in that way. You know, Nintendo has the kids.
Maybe they should have.
Well, no, so, I mean, Sony didn't have to. They didn't have to. It's like, we can go over here and we can have these games that are a little more grown up and a little more bloody and gory because, you know, some of these little kid gamers have grown up. They like Mario, but they probably would like to stab somebody in the eye with a fork, and we're offering that to you. Be able to stab somebody in the eye with a fork and have your fun, and then go back and play Mario Kart and enjoy the fluffy sunshine
hat. I like the idea of stabbing somebody in the eye.
Yes. With a fork. In a game. Make sure you say in a game. In a game, Ginger. You have to specify.
In a game, Ginger.
You have to specify that point. So I don't know what y'all were trying to do over there, Microsoft. I'm going to say maybe y'all should sit this one out. Y'all should pull a Nintendo and just don't say anything for a while. Just be quiet. And you say, you know what, we're not putting a console out here this Christmas. And your current gen is fine. You've got some GTA coming out because GTA is saying... So I got time to do this one real quick. Yeah, GTA is saying that they're sticking. They're not going to be developing GTA for next gen. It's going to be on this one. So your current PlayStation, your current Xbox, and maybe even your the Wii U, which is still next gen, will be GTA, the new GTA.
Mm-hmm.
So you really don't have to worry. You could probably put together a pack, much like Sony's doing, and sell a whole gang of 360s. The
Yay!
New 360 Slim, you could probably sell a whole bunch of them just with GTA. Put together a pack. I might even get a new one. Because that'd be ridiculous. Of course, my Xbox is fine, so I probably won't. But you never know. Might talk me into it. All right, peoples. It's time for us to go.
Mm-hmm. It is time for us to go. Yes.
And we will be back tomorrow, bright and early.
Yes.
To torture you some more with our crazy ranting ramblings.
Yes. And off gaming topic news, Texas House of Representatives, I'm ashamed of you right now. Just the scene. Ashamed. Ashamed.
What do they do?
Passed sweeping abortion restrictions.
Keep your hands off my vajayjay, people. That's all I got to say about that. If you ain't got one, you don't need to be passing any laws about it.
Amen.
We'll see y'all tomorrow.
Emote with you.